So we've been talking about it all this hour. Barack Obama, Congress, investors, traders, all trying to figure out whether the market has hit this point. What do they call it? We need a stock analyst. Rock bottom. That's what they're looking for, just like Kiss. Maybe you can give them some advice from your personal life. Are you looking for your own personal economic bottom at the point where you make changes that are perhaps permanent in your life? Are you waiting to buy a house, or are you waiting to walk away from a house, holding off taking a vacation, eating at home or at diners, or stopping eating out altogether? Tell us what your personal bottom is. It's perhaps more important than the trading bottom that they're looking for on Wall Street. 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. Now, it wasn't so long ago, maybe just a few months ago, that you couldn't get away from messages like this.
Homeowners, want to get cash and simplify your bills? Ask about a combo loan from Countrywide.
We're America's number one home loan lender. No one can do what Countrywide can.
No one can do what Countrywide can.
Well, Countrywide can't do much anymore. It's a subsidiary of Bank of America when it was bought. But there's a new company in town called PennyMac. You may not have heard of it yet. But some of the brains behind Countrywide Financial have begun buying up delinquent home mortgages, often for just pennies on the dollar, from the U.S. government. And the bad bank toxic assets that the government sells them become profitable with the right amount of coaxing and sort of business acumen, helping to explain what this is all about and how it possibly is a pathway out of the housing bottom. New York Times reporter Eric Lipton joins us from Washington, D.C. He's been covering the emergence of this company, PennyMac, on the financial scene, and you can find his story in today's New York Times. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Now, let's talk about, first of all, how this works. Some of the people who were responsible for some of these subprime mortgages or very, very liberal mortgage terms are now buying so-called bad mortgages and turning them into something not so bad. How does it work?
Right. There's about a dozen former Countrywide executives that have joined together in the same exact town where Countrywide was based, Calabasas, outside of Los Angeles. And they've set up this new company that they call PennyMac. And they're buying up these delinquent mortgages. And because they buy them at such a low price, they're able to offer the borrower a much lower interest rate, or even in some cases reduce their principal, and still earn a very hefty profit if the borrower repays the loan.
So it's conceivable that somebody got a loan from Countrywide, maybe even years ago. It bounced around the securitized market, maybe sold to someone in Taiwan or ended up in a European bank, and then made its way back to the United States where it became a toxic asset on the balance of, say, AIG, okay? The federal government sells it to PennyMac, who may have been, you know, some of the people might have been the original underwriter of the Countrywide loan. They buy it for pennies on the dollar. And then what do they do to the actual mortgage, you know, the person who actually is supposed to be making the payments? Do they call them up and offer them new terms?
They do. And it's a very sort of, you know, friendly, we're here to help you kind of approach. And they actually are using a lot of the popular marketing techniques that they had at Countrywide, which allowed them to grow so much. And so far, just to let you know, the PennyMac does not look as if it actually has acquired former Countrywide loans.
Right.
It has loans from a failed bank in Nevada, First National Bank of Nevada, that went under in July, and the federal government, the FDIC, took over all of its bad debt, and that is the bulk of what PennyMac has so far. It also has a bunch of bad loans from Lehman Brothers, another unfortunate story. It collects these loans, it calls the owners of the loans, and it tries to negotiate with them. If necessary, it will foreclose upon the loans and essentially force the people out of their homes or properties.
But if the payments resume and they're able to renegotiate the terms, a certain kind of financial magic happens where suddenly the asset that they bought for pennies on the dollar becomes worth a whole lot more. How does that work?
The profit margins for them are really enormous. I mean, they convinced one Massachusetts homeowner to do a short sale, which is to sell his property for less than it was worth. And this gentleman sold his property for less than half its value. And PennyMac still made, you know, something like 100% profit on what it had paid for his loan. It's because they're buying the bulk loans at such a cheap price that they can offer all these apparent, you know, great deals to the borrower and still come out way ahead.
Eric, this is Farai Chidea. I've been reading recently about some cases in which people who have been put through the foreclosure process, they've had their loans transferred so many times, and along the way there have been paperwork problems, et cetera, and in fact, some of these people may not be in foreclosure. In a big business play like that, is it at all concerning to folks like this who already have a, in some cases, a not great reputation with the public? Will people start to investigate whether or not the folks getting foreclosed on really have been properly targeted?
Well, in fact, I mean, and I was in their offices for a whole day, and I stood there as the operators were talking to some of the people that have their loans now at PennyMac. And, you know, they are actually pretty good at handling these people, and they can offer more than their former bank was willing to offer. And I don't they don't want to foreclose because, in fact, foreclosures are a pretty expensive process for them. They could make more money if they could simply get the people to start paying again.
Right.
So their preference is to avoid foreclosure, and they are quite successful at doing it because if they could knock your interest rate from 7% to 3%, your monthly payments are going to, you know, be cut almost in half, and you're going to be happy. They're going to be happy because they're making money. The only party that's not happy is probably, you know, is the federal government to some extent because it's eating that loss.
Exactly. I mean, Eric, just very quickly, a couple of seconds, isn't the federal government supposed to be doing this? Aren't they the ones who are supposed to be realizing this profit because it's taxpayer money?
Well, in fact, the federal government does get in 80% of the money that PennyMac collects, they get. But again, still that sounds a lot.
Right.
But PennyMac is still making 20%, and that's a lot of money for it to share among its partners.
Living along the bottom of PennyMac, is it a bottom feeder? Who knows what it is, but it's an interesting business proposition. Eric Lipton joins us from the New York Times. Thanks so much, Eric.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.